How serious are you about removing dirt from your house? According to a 2009 survey published by the U.S. Department of Labor, 36% of the Americans polled said that they daily engage in housework. Now, of that 36%, those who clean every single day, they say that they spend an average of 1.5 hours on that task. These people are so determined to get rid of the dirt from their homes that they will spend more time doing that housework than they will spend on eating, on food preparation and cleanup, on household management, on grocery shopping, on professional or personal care services. They will spend more time cleaning than they will caring for and helping non-household members. In fact, they will spend more time getting rid of the dirt from their homes than they will on phone calls, mail, and email combined. These people are serious about getting rid of dirt. Interesting that only 9% of those polled say that they engage in daily devotional time with their God. When they do, that 9%, they spend an average of 1.5 hours every day on that task. Let me ask you a question. Are they also on the task of getting rid of dirt? And are you? Today I'm going to share with you the necessary steps to remove stains caused by the dirt. What dirt am I talking about? Gossip. Let's define what that dirt is. What is gossip? Well, our culture has a definition of gossip. It has justifications such as, well, gossip is providing the details of a person's social or personal life. You've seen this in newspaper entertainment pages, talking about the celebrities, talking about the elite. You've seen it on the news in the entertainment section. Or gossip is justified because it's informative, like the political ads and the phone calls that we were getting every day, throughout the day. You've listened to these ads. You've seen them on television. First, they present the other side's unacceptable social behavior. And then they present their own acceptable solution. Or gossip could simply be demonstrating good reporting, sharing important information, like emails or texts at work. Let's say you think that someone may be involved in something illegal or unethical, and so you start asking, what should we do about it? And you unload what has happened. Does this warrant further investigation? And you feel good because you're taking a potential threat seriously. You know, our Christian society is no better than our culture when defining gossip. The Christians call gossip something trivial, something socially and intellectually unproductive. Well, yeah, it could be hurtful, but this way of spreading information is meant to be lighthearted. And besides, it's just the way people talk. But what does God say? If you have a Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. We're going to be reading verses 6 through 9. This is Ezekiel rebuking the children of Israel. He's not talking to the nation at Nineveh. These are God's chosen people. And this is what he has to say, beginning in verse 6 I'll be reading from the NRSV. The princes of Israel in you. Everyone, according to his power, has been bent on shedding blood. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The alien residing within you suffers extortion. The orphan and the widow are wronged in you. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. In you are those who slander to shed blood. Let me give you God's definition of gossip. Gossip is the abuse and rejection of an individual through oppressive or neglectful speech. Gossip causes bloodshed. This violence by an attacker culminates with a wounded victim and blood stains. Have you participated in gossip? I want to talk to those of you who are willing to do the work necessary to restore a gossip-stained relationship. You need a great blood stain removal technique. Now, those of you that have tried to remove a blood stain from your carpet, from your upholstery, from clothes, you have experienced the frustration of trying to rub out a blood stain from a piece of fabric. Because of all the blood stains, of all the stubborn stains, blood can be one of the hardest to get out. But a blood-stained soul? What do you do with that? What is strong enough to get the blood out without further harm to the victim? I'm going to suggest to you 3 steps. And these will work if you are serious about restoring your relationship. Step number 1. At no time do you allow the stain to dry out. Don't delay. The longer you delay, the more feeble your relationship will become. Think of a house plant that you fail to water. What happens to it? Well, the first thing you'll notice is that the leaves begin to wilt. The leaves eventually will fall off if you continue to neglect it. Keep water away, the stem's going to dry out. Keep neglecting it, the roots will dry out. Eventually, that plant is going to die. The longer you wait to reconcile with that other person, shame and disappointment are going to be the first symptoms of that neglect. That leads to relational inequality between the two of you, which leads to relational impoverishment. And as that tie gets thinner and thinner and thinner, eventually, you continue to neglect, that relationship is going to die. Step 2. Immerse immediately in very salty but cool water. I want to look at this step in 2 different parts. First of all, the very strong salt water necessary. Salt is used as a cleaning agent. We see this in the Bible. Both externally, you're going to rub something or someone with salt. Newborn babies were rubbed with salt. Or internally, as a preservative for your food. All animal sacrifices were required to be seasoned with salt. You read that in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. Covenants between 2 parties were ratified in salt. You find that in Numbers 18, verse 19. The justification for this is simple. Salt is a purifier. It's a preservative. Salt will reinforce that covenant, bringing with it a sense of durability, a sense of dependability between the two of you, a sense of faithfulness. Jesus urges us to imitate that salt usefulness. We are to have pure hearts. We are to represent caring for one another. We are to honor each other. Christian love is supposed to be unique because of its enduring power above all things. In Mark chapter 9, verses 49 through 50, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he says, "For everyone will be salted with fire." Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The second part of this step, do not use hot water. Very important. If you try to remove a blood stain from fabric with hot water is going to set that stain even stronger. If you approach the other person and there is still anger between the two of you, that anger is going to lead to revenge. In the summertime, it's a hot day. There's nothing more relieving and refreshing than cool water. Well, likewise, when you come together, you come together in an agreement to remain calm. Because the only way you're going to restore that relationship, to resolve the tension between the two of you, it has to happen in peace. Again, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Step three, once that stain is gone, wash as normal. Now what we're talking about here, once that has come out in the open, you have come together in peace, you have repentance, you've confessed this issue, and you have decided you're going to bury it, you say, this situation is resolved and it's not going to come up again. But you have to continue to build up a healthy relationship. We read in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Here's Paul. He is talking about the marks of a true Christian, where love is preeminent, love is necessary. Verse 10, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. And again, Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. These are the marks of a Christian life. Love is preeminent. We are to imitate God's forgiving and loving ways, just as He forgives and loves you. So you are to do likewise. For those of you who have been the victims of such a brutal attack of gossip, I want you to hold on to something. You are not who or what others say you are. You are who or what Jesus says you are. For those of you who are the attackers, who have spread gossip, I have a message for you too. You are not who or what you say you are. You are to be who or what Jesus says you are to be. If you are serious about restoring that relationship, I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray that each of us commits today to worship you by concentrating our hearts with the salt from your Holy Spirit. That we will be faithful to one another. That we will not associate with gossip. May our tongues be seasoned with goodness and kindness. We repent of this sin. We confess that you can cleanse us from it. And we receive your forgiveness as we forgive each other. For the love of Jesus, we lift up our hearts to you. Amen.